Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks so much for joining us on a Saturday. Sports Saturday underway. Steve Thompson, Eric Nelson, Jonathan Lowe here in studio. Minnesota Wild, the new look Minnesota Wild, take on the San Jose Sharks today at 4 o'clock in St. Paul. Timberwolves in the All-Star break. Twins gearing up. Pitchers and catchers are cranking it up. First spring training game. Once again, a week from Saturday here on the radio. They'll play the University of Minnesota next Friday in a spring training exhibition game down at the CenturyLink Sports Complex. Golden Gopher men get Iowa tomorrow. Golden Gopher women at Michigan State on Monday night. Golden Gopher men's hockey at Notre Dame tonight, while the Golden Gopher women's hockey team is idle. Eric, where do you want to start? So many things we could talk about at the beginning of the program. How about the Wild? Bill Guerin made a move on Bruce Boudreau. He is out. And there are a lot of people scratching their heads about this one, because I don't think anybody could point to the Wild and their ups and downs this year, say really it had anything to do with the veteran coach Bruce Boudreau, that he was not the problem with this club.
Yeah, it really seemed like he was a calming hand during the storm, the turbulence they had at the beginning of the year with the slow start, all the road games they had. And, you know, lately they've been playing much better, 7-3-1. In their last 11 games, they're three back of a playoff spot. I was out there on Thursday night, and I will say this. You know, I went to the game, first two and a half periods, I'm in the press box. I decide I'm going to go downstairs into the lower bowl and watch the final 10 minutes before I leave, because I like to see hockey up close. I get a much better appreciation for the skill set of NHL players. So I did that. It's 3-1 when I took the elevator from the press box down to the main concourse at the X. The Rangers get a goal with about, you know, 7, 8, 9 minutes left. It's 3-2. So it's a close game. And you knew the Rangers were going to pull that goalie late if it stayed 3-2. They did that. They tie it up with about a minute to go. And suddenly you're like, wow, this thing has changed dramatically. It goes to overtime. Nobody scores. And New York gets two goals in the shootout to win it. And it was a point lost for Minnesota, no doubt about it. You can't spin it any other way. They should have gotten a regulation two there. But Stevie T, J-Lo, when I exited the building into the polar vortex that night, it was like minus 10. In no way, shape, or form was I even thinking that Bruce Boudreau was in any kind of trouble, and that the next day would be the Valentine's Day massacre, and Bill Guerin would call him to the Tria rink and say, "We don't need you anymore." I thought there was no way that would happen. And I think a lot of people were totally blindsided by this move. Now, had it happened at the end of the regular season, especially if the Wild don't get into the playoffs, I think we all get that. Bruce Boudreau's contract was going to run out this year. But the timing, to me, very curious. And now we'll see what Dean Evason can do, the interim head coach.
Yeah, it is a bizarre circumstance. One thing, though, we have clearly seen is that Bill Guerin's going to put his mark on this club. He came in, has taken a wait-and-see approach, but it is clear with the trade of Jason Zucker to the Pittsburgh Penguins that he's going to put his mark on this team. And then ultimately getting rid of Bruce Boudreau, he's ultimately going to bring in his own guy, and he's ultimately going to bring in his own players. This is Bill Guerin's franchise now. I know Craig Leopold's the owner. But it took him a while to get settled in and understand what he has. And I think in the wake of the Boudreau firing, the shot across the bow to the players.
I don't think there's any doubt, because if you remember earlier in the week, he was quoted in the Pioneer Press and the Star Tribune, Guerin, as saying, look, if guys aren't performing, if they're not going to go out and play as hard as they can to try to get us into the postseason, I will make other moves. Because the Jason Zucker trade, that upset the apple cart. This guy was popular in the room. He had roots here in the community. He was a good player. But Guerin didn't care. And let's face it, the NHL is big boy hockey. I mean, it is a business. And Guerin is coming in here with the mandate from Craig Leopold, fix it. Because it's been mediocre now for a couple years, and then even when Boudreaux got the team to the postseason, they were one and done. And you're right, he's putting his fingerprints all over this team. And you can't blame him. I had Lou Nanny on last night when I was in on late night. And Lou said, look, as a GM, you have to do it your way. Because eventually they may show Bill Guerin the door. And you don't want to look back and say, I didn't bring in the people I thought I needed to get this done. Now, that said, I still think the Boudreaux thing, the timing wasn't good in my eyes. It may have been a panic button move. The team is playing well despite that meltdown against the Rangers. But he's the GM. He's the guy calling the shots now. And he's got to get it done.
I'll say this to both of your points. I talked with a couple people that, you know, I work with, and talking about the timing, that's the main confusion for everybody. They think, okay, why now? Why not in, you know, early January or December, when the team was just flat out struggling, was one of the worst teams in hockey? They've actually turned it around. They've won 7 out of their last
seven, 3-1.
Yeah, 7 out of their last 11. 7 out of the last 10 if you want to take out the overtime loss on Thursday. So why now? I think ultimately it always depends on who you hire as the next coach. This might be good for the Wild, because I've said this before, I'll say it again, Bruce Boudreaux is a great regular season coach. He's not a good playoff coach. And he's made the playoffs quite a bit. This was his 10th full season, you want? I'm sorry, his 11th full season.
10 playoff trips, 13 years.
Yes. So the first, and I don't want to count the split season, because he got fired in Washington and then got hired in Anaheim in 2011-2012. That was kind of a mixed year. But his first, including the season that he took over on an interim basis in 2007-2008, the first 10 seasons that he was basically a full-time head coach, he made the playoffs. And again, that 11-12 season I'm throwing out the window. Last year was really the first time as a full-season head coach that he did not make the playoffs, and the team was trending that way again. But you look at the playoff record. His overall playoff record was 43-47. He only got out of the first round of the playoffs 4 out of 10 times. He only got out of the second round of the playoffs once. So he hadn't gotten out of the first round of the playoffs with the Wild. So I don't know if... Even if they make the playoffs as a first wild card or a second wild card, I don't know how much they could have done this season with teams like St. Louis and Dallas and Colorado ahead of them and the teams in the Pacific. I just don't know if they could have gone anywhere and if this was going to end up being the same thing in about 2 months.
Well, that was the rap on him even when he came here, and you're right, J-Lo. In Anaheim and Washington, he had good teams, but he couldn't get those teams over the hump. He had Alexander Ovechkin, my goodness. And that's why both of those franchises moved on from Bruce Boudreaux. I think it's similar to what we saw with Ron Gardenhier here in Minnesota with the Twins. They got to the playoffs a lot. They rarely advanced. Same thing Flip Saunders with the Timberwolves. You know, 8 straight trips to the playoffs, only one time out of round one. Denny Green fought the same battles with the Minnesota Vikings. So there are a number of examples, a number of coaches like Bruce Boudreaux who have that regular season success.
Well, the late Flip Saunders.
Yeah, I was just saying. I mean, he had 8 straight trips to the playoffs, but only once they got to beyond round one. Now, I still think, and I've been saying this for a long time, it starts with your goaltender. We talk about pitching in baseball, quarterback in football, point guard in basketball, whatever. ESPN came out with a stat yesterday. 6 of the bottom 10 NHL teams in save percentage have made coaching changes this season. They are San Jose, New Jersey, Nashville, Vegas, Toronto, and Minnesota. So really what we're getting at here is the Wild has subpar goaltending, and now it's a tandem, Alex Stalock and Devin Dubnyk. And until they can get an elite goalie, they can forget about thinking about any kind of Stanley Cup.
But it goes beyond that for the Wild. And I will point to that 4th of July all those years ago when the Wild went from the doldrums to a lot of excitement, sold a ton of season tickets, Ryan Suter and Zach Parise. I'm not blaming these guys. They have been very good NHL players. Very good American-born NHL players. Zach Parise will celebrate his 1,000th game. He played it the other night in the NHL, but they'll have a ceremony later today with the Sharks in town at the Xcel Energy Center in St. Paul. But Ryan Suter and Zach Parise are not elite NHL players. They're not perennial all-star NHL players. If you're wondering, the all-star for the Minnesota Wild this year was Eric Staal. They have Parise and Suter under contract through the 24-25 seasons. There's not much Bill Guerin can do about that. And there's a huge salary cap hit through the 24-25 season. You brought up the goaltending. Excellent point. The goaltending's mediocre. Alex Stalock, a career backup, a veteran backup. Devin Dubnyk's probably seen better days. Was never really a top five NHL goaltender to begin with. So the Minnesota Wild have all these issues. And what I do like about this approach, whether you agree with Boudreau deserving to be fired or not, I tend to lean toward really not his fault, but it's much easier to fire the coach than it is the players. That's why coaches and managers get fired in these sports, because you can't fire the whole team. They're under contract. They're guaranteed contracts. So you get a different coach, a different mindset, hoping to jumpstart things. But there are still fundamental problems with this club. They don't have elite goal scoring. That hasn't changed. And you have Suter and Parise. Once again, when they signed those contracts, they were very good NHL players. They weren't great NHL players. They weren't difference-maker NHL players. And now as they get older and those contracts continue to drag on, that's a fundamental problem that Bill Guerin's got to try and figure a way around. In some other ways, he's starting to clear up some room. The Zucker contract, say what you want about him being involved in the community and his wife was involved in the community, and they did all these things. What really matters are wins and losses and playoff appearances and playoff runs. There's a lot of good guys. I mean, whatever. You know, I don't disagree with the trade at all.
By the way, he had two goals last night in Penguins' win.
And I think he's playing alongside Sidney Crosby.
Well, he should be happy he's in Pittsburgh. He's got a much better chance to get a cup there than he does here. Well, I'd be elated.
Well, sure. He's playing along one of the elite goal scorers in the NHL, you know, in a future Hall of Famer. The Wild don't have that talent. Let's just face the facts. They're a middle-of-the-pack NHL team, and Guerin's got to shake it up, as unpleasant as it is. Boudreau, Zucker, the changes are going to continue. They have to. The one thing we do know, Suter and Parise aren't going anywhere. What do you do about Mikko Koivu going forward? The captain doesn't have a contract next year.
What about Matt Dumba?
Yeah, Dumba has a longer-term deal. And I think you need guys like Dumba and Brodin and Spurgeon. You need those guys that aren't aging veterans. They're still in the prime of your career because they're going to bring the kid in from Russia the way it sounds next year and could turn into an elite goal scorer. That is one thing the Wild haven't had since Marian Gaborik. And I don't think you can consider the Wild a threat until you hit on Eric's point, much improved goaltending and an elite goal scorer to add into the mix. Otherwise, I just don't see the Wild being a threat. There are ingredients here, but not nearly enough.
But they're mediocre, and I do think, and I believe it's Kirill Kaprizov out of the KHL in Russia, and maybe he's the guy that can turn this thing around. But at some point, you have to ask yourself, do we go above all this to Craig Leopold? He's the owner. I always say it starts at the top in any organization. Glenn Taylor's getting banged on, and rightfully so here in Minnesota with the woes of the Wolves. Well, the Wild aren't a whole lot better. He's on his third GM now in roughly, what, 3 years? Chuck Fletcher, Paul Fenton, Bill Guerin. They're into another coach, and more than likely Dean Evason won't be the permanent hire. You need stability. They don't have it over there in St. Paul right now.
It'll be very interesting to see what the fan reaction is in St. Paul today to the move. A lot of fans not happy about the Bruce Boudreau. I think there were people on his side. And can the Wild respond to Bill Guerin? It's like, hey, if they're upset or so on and so forth, maybe we don't want him around. I mean, he's definitely laid the smack down on this team. And why not? Because the trade deadline is looming, Eric, and they still have an opportunity to make moves. I would guess that a contending team would potentially want the services of Eric Staal down the stretch. There are other guys on this roster. So once again, to just finish the thought before the break, I don't think he's anywhere near done in the short term and certainly over the summer. This will be a new-look Wild team that opens the season in the fall of 2020.
Yeah, for sure. And the other thing I noticed in the building Thursday night, all right, the Rangers are not a juggernaut. They probably won't make the playoffs in the East, but they still are the New York Rangers. They come in with a bit of a cachet, and they're an original six team. They only make one trip here every year. A lot of empty seats. And they are now routinely over there at the X announcing 17,000 plus per game. It used to be you could go over there and it was always 19,000 plus, another sellout, even if you saw empty seats. They said, we sold out the building. That is no longer happening. Ticket prices on the secondary market have gone down. So the Wild buzz, it's still there. I still think they have a very loyal core of fans. Yeah. 17,000, I mean, a lot of teams would take that. But there's a slow erosion going on here, and I think that's what Bill Guerin senses. And you're right. He's going to make more moves. I'd be stunned if he doesn't.
Yeah, and the reality of is when you look at where they stand in the points, the Wild have played 57 games. They have 58 points. Typically, that math doesn't work. Or 57 games, 61 points, excuse me. So right now, they have games in hand over Arizona, the second wild card with 64 points. And then, of course, they have games in hand with Calgary, who's the number one wild card with 66 points. So they're on the edge. They're still in the mix, but there is no margin for error. Once again, that extra point they lost on Thursday night when they coughed up the lead and ultimately got beat by the Rangers in that bogus shootout goal, by the way. I don't know how you send that goal to Toronto and say that shootout goal was legitimate.
Big, that was a big play. And also the Wild had
a big point. That's
my
point.
They had a goal in the game called off for goalie interference in regulation. But, you know, the Rangers got the win.
I tend to agree with that. Call more.
Well, I was sitting next to hockey expert The Hammer, and he called it right away. He said, well, they're going to wave that one off, and he was right. They did.
That I don't have a problem with that. But the shootout winner, that's contrary to the rules.
The guy took 20 seconds to get the shot off.
Well, not only that, he stopped his forward progress. That's a deal breaker in the shootout. You get one shot. You have to continue to make forward progress toward the goaltender, and you get one shot. He stopped his forward progress, period.
I'm not a hockey expert, and people would say I'm not any expert of anything. But I know that, and I saw the replay of that, I know that in a shootout you got to continue moving forward. And the dude went to the side and then went back and then shot it in. I was like, wait a minute, how they allow that?
I thought they would take it off the board too, and they did not. And then I knew the Wild were cooked. And well, you know, if Bill, and obviously that was the tipping point.
And that's how Boudreau's. I mean, in reality,
right.
Maybe Boudreau keeps his job if the Wild hang on and win that game, or ultimately get 2 points and win it in the shootout. And we should go into the rabbit hole of the shootout. I have said from day one, it is the most preposterous way to decide a winner in a major professional sporting event. It blows my mind the NHL still uses this gimmick. Absolutely blows my mind that this is how they determine crucial points in a season. Because let's face it, over the course of a year, that can be the difference between getting into the playoffs and not getting into the playoffs. a shootout. That would be like an NFL game going to overtime for a little bit and then saying, yeah, we're just going to have the kickers, you know, line it up until a kicker misses a kick, and that's who we're going to determine. People would go absolutely insane if they did that. Or in an MLB game, we're going to play three extra innings, and after the bottom of the 12th, we're just going to have home run derby. I think the Twins would be in pretty good shape.
Actually, the way MLB is right moving now. Things along, that might be in play. I know they're talking about half the field now making the playoffs in Major League Baseball down the road. But you're right. It's a gimmick. It's silly. And by the way, I do believe if you go to overtime, you either get two for the win or you get none for the loss. I think that whole point thing is silly. You're exactly right. That was the tipping point Thursday night for Bruce Boudreaux. Now, ultimately, I think Guerin was going to move on from him, barring a deep run in the playoffs. However, what happens if they lose today and they're going to play in an hour and a half against San Jose? The Sharks have 54 points. They are bottom feeders. If they don't get two in regulation today, goodness knows what Bill Guerin's going to do.
Well, it just makes it clear what he will do is that you hang the for sale sign up on anybody that doesn't have a strict no trade like Parise and Suter. And I'm not familiar with the contract status. I can't believe they're going to move a Dumba or a Spurgeon or players like that. I think those are core guys moving forward into the Kaprizov era. Because that era sounds like it could start next year. Now, will there be going pains with a young Russian player coming in? But he could bring you that elite scoring punch that'll help put the Wild over the hump. Goaltending, where do they turn for goaltending? I think those are all valid points. But once again, the Wild now are in a spot where they have no margin for error. They have teams they need to climb over to get into wild card contention. So a game like today, as you pointed out, against a San Jose Shark team that has cashed it in, and I believe they lost another player, if memory serves, broken thumb, who's going to be out. I got to check my notes a little bit further on that. But the point being is Sharks are going nowhere the way it looks. So you got to take care of business. We'll see how they respond to the coaching change. We'll see how they respond today. That's what Bill Guerin is looking for when he sits up in the press box at Yeah,
well, and you also have to wonder now, what kind of a room do they have? Remember the rap on some of these guys, they weren't all here when Mike Yeo
was
the
head. Well, how many coaches have they quit on?
Exactly. They ran Mike Yeo out. I mean, they quit on him. That was the rap. They got their wish. Out goes Mike Yeo. Now Bruce Boudreaux, and there have been rumblings, maybe there was friction in the room. They weren't all on the same page with Bruce Boudreaux. So what's the reputation of this group now? And you have to believe that Bill Guerin senses all of that, and he will make the changes that he deems necessary moving forward. Can they get in the playoffs? We'll find out. I mean, they're in the running. Like you said, they have games in hand against certain teams, but it's nowhere near set in stone they're going to get in.
Well, they can't afford what happened Thursday night to the Rangers, coughing up that extra point. By the way, the Sharks announced today that defenseman Erik Karlsson will be out for the remainder of the season with a broken left thumb, which will require surgery. So that is a big blow for a struggling Sharks team.
And the Sharks won in Winnipeg last night, though, 3-2. So they'll have the quick turnaround, but that's a short flight. So,
well, wait a minute, though. So the Wild get a struggling team on the second night of a back-to-back.
And it's an afternoon game.
And it's a 4 o'clock game. No excuses in St. Paul today.
Like I said, if they lose this one, Bill Guerin, he may go Gerson Rosas and trade everyone.
Yeah.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.